know, but, you know, there's just days where it's just better if you just leave that one alone for a little while. Jess was part of my difficult week. Not that she was the cause of it, she was the help of it, really. But she got a lot of the conversation about it, as it turns out. James was away for the week. You know, hard-pressed as a teacher on a camping outing. Tiny violin, where he got his enormous football injury on his leg. You can ooh and ah and say, wow, that looks really bad. It would be good for him. So Jess got the brunt, really, of my frustrations this week. You know, it's good to have family. It's good to have home. It's good to have a place where you can be real. It's one of the foundations of who we are, I think, as a church, is really an attempt to be real and to be honest. That doesn't mean you get to say anything to anyone, because we do need to grow in the Spirit. We do need to be operating in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes with your two or three people who get to speak into your life, they also get the ventings once in a while. But they also get to turn to you and say, I think that's a bit of an overreaction. And so I had at least one of those moments this week about some issues the Lord is dealing with my heart about. And I don't mind saying that at all, because I think that's the journey we're on. If I had already arrived, I wouldn't be standing here today. I would be raptured into glory. His work would be done, and I'd be standing before him face to face, a finished product, as it were. But just look at the person next to you and realize they're not quite finished. They're pretty nice and pretty close and all of that, but not quite finished. And so Jess this week got to be the one to speak into me and say, oh, Mom, I can't believe you said that. Mom, what an overreaction. What is going on? So it's kind of what it was like. Certainly how it felt. So we had one night, I know, till about 2:30 in the morning, talking about my overreactions and just getting to the bottom and the roots of that, which was really, really helpful and profitable. Say helpful. Profitable. Do you know, up until the time when that revelation happens and all the ranting and raving and all the overreaction that's going on, it doesn't feel nice. But when you get to the place of, that's what the root of this is. That's what the point. That's what the, I'm producing apples everywhere, or rotten apples, as it were. And finally, when you get to the root of what the problem is, it's a relief, really. It feels better to be free. And so as a church, we're really endeavoring a threefold journey at the same time, the inward, outward, and upward, as you've heard us say a number of times. But the inward journey, once in a while, pops up too, and you need to deal with that stuff along the way, because it feels better to be free. It feels better to feel loved. And perfect love casts out fear. So anybody got any fear yet? Still there hanging around? Besides me? Yeah. Just means the love of God hasn't quite been shown into that place. And so we need to be willing to say, okay, God, find those places in me, because it feels better to feel loved. It feels better to feel free. Not because there's something wrong with us. We should all have already settled that. If we prayed a sinner's prayer at some point in life, we should have long since settled that issue. There's something wrong with me. You know? Maybe turn to somebody on the other side and say, there's something wrong with me. There is. There's something wrong with me. I need a Savior. Don't you? That's the deal. Washed and cleansed in the blood, I stand before the Father with nothing wrong with me. And yet, while we are working through our salvation, we need to be accountable, as it were, and belong in a family where people earn the right through safety and love and commitment to speak those things in when it is an overreaction. And so I'm happy for that, really. We would like to welcome someone into fellowship today. Having said all of that, we met with Liz, I think maybe 2 weeks ago now, maybe even three, two, and just really talked through, you know, we do want to grow our church. We're happy to grow and impact our city and our community for sure. We want resources to increase where there's more people to get involved in things and so on. We want more money to do the things that we want to do and all of that. But the primary focus for our church is to prepare a place where he comes. And if he comes, all the rest of it will in turn follow. Wherever Jesus went, signs and wonders and miracles and revelation of God's love followed. So we're kind of after that primary thing. But in that context, as a church family, we also want to welcome people, and anyone can come and hang out and visit. But when that step of commitment comes and you feel like, I really want to buy in here and I really want to build what they're building, I have similar values with the leaders, I want to get behind them, I want my time, energy, and money to invest alongside with them, then we meet up and we talk through those things. And to be honest with you, we don't make it real, real easy. We do have an expectation that if you join Haven, you have a commitment to flow together as a family. You have a commitment to model what we're doing, and that is, search my heart, God. And if I offend, you know, the thing about offense is, if there's a problem, if there's a disagreement, if there's harsh words, let's say, between Joan and I think Joan did it. But Joan thinks I did it. And therein lies the working together of this amazing representation of the kingdom of heaven that God is building, where my issues are rubbing on your issues so that I look more like him and you look more like him. But in that context, we have to have a willingness to say, I have stuff to sort. And so, you know, we've been really open with people who join our church to say that's what we believe and what we want. And we don't necessarily want just everyone to join Haven if they don't really want to follow our vision. We bless you to go wherever you would feel to build. I think these are times and seasons where we should get behind whatever leadership is building what we believe is on our life and build. I don't think we have years and years to waste floundering around playing church. I think it's time to dig in for the kingdom of heaven and park and be known. I think it's time for prophetic voices to be released and declarations to be released. But I can tell you from our perspective as leaders that if you will not build relationship with us, you will not have a safe voice and therefore a platform to declare whatever the revelation is. Because we believe that there is safety through relationship and accountability that doesn't happen just willy-nilly. And we've had lots of people, you know, want to speak into our church. And sometimes it's really been God. I don't want to discount that. But generally speaking, if we make ourselves as a church family, you know, available for that kind of commitment and therefore word from the Lord, I have found through years now that it is safe and building rather than just someone's personal platform. Because we all want to go in one direction, really, and that's to him, don't we? And so having said all that, Liz, if you want to come up, we would love to welcome you into Haven Church. I don't know if there's lots of people away today, actually, but especially our life group leaders and our worship team, if you can come up and just gather around her. And, you know, this is a bit, I don't want to say that this is more formal than it is, but I also want to say to you that we have such a foundation for family and real honest relationships that it is important to us, and we don't take lightly who we welcome in our family. And so I just want to say on behalf of Chris and myself and the leaders of our church that we welcome you into our church family and have found in you a servant heart and someone who loves Jesus and someone who is also willing to embrace this threefold journey that we're on, including your own stuff to sort along the way. So, Father, we just welcome her as a family today into our church family to be a part of us, to feel like she belongs. Thank you, Lord, that in the book of Psalms, you say to all of us, you place the lonely in families. And Lord, I thank you that she's wanting to commit to be part of what we build here. And we just want to say to you that we want to commit to build a relationship with you and to not keep offenses, but to build together. Lord, I pray that this would be a great blessing for her, that belonging here would open doors of all sorts for her, but mostly just that place on the inside would be completely settled. As the Lord would just say over you today, you belong. You belong. You belong. Lord, give us wisdom as leaders to encourage her giftings, to see her potentials, to see her through your eyes, Father, as we encourage and nurture her along. And for all the rest of us, Lord, as we stand beside her, we just welcome you into our family. So maybe if you already belong to Haven, you can just say an amen to that and say, yep, I welcome you. You can come and sit at the same table and eat the same food and work it out along the way. Does anyone have anything they want to pray or say? Yes, no? It's okay if you don't. Okay. Welcome, Liz. Yeah. May it be a place of growth and blessing.
We're just going to give the offering this morning, and just to share from my heart briefly, I've really come to depend on the Lord to be the one guiding my life, guiding my identity of who I am and what it is that He wants me to be doing with the time that I have to be alive, and to be able to rely on Him completely to provide everything that I need, even in really tough and really uncomfortable situations. He's always been there. He's always come through. He's always been the one to give me everything that I need. Not always everything that I wanted or everything that I thought I needed, but He's always been there to give me everything that I really needed. And so let's just open our hearts right now and just say, Heavenly Father, we want to give You our hearts. We want to give You that place where we've come to rely on our own ability to earn Your love and to earn a safe and secure place in this world. We want to give that to You, and we want You to come and fill that place, and You to come and be the one who's going to provide for us, because we don't need to rely on just money. We need to rely on You and for You to give us everything that we need, including money. And so, Lord, we just release that. We release that back to You today, and let Your blessing and Your abundance be poured out on us as we come to trust You and to learn Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Any more testimonies? God done anything good this week?
I'd just like to share a bit. I know everyone knows about the Olympic flame that's going around, but I'm not going to dwell on and all the stuff that brings with it. But I don't know if anyone of you are aware of the praise bus that's going ahead of the flame. I don't know if anyone... Sorry?
2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours ahead of the... I know it'd be good if you could pray for them, because they've had a few incidences where they've almost clashed with the flame, and they've been told that if that happens again, then I won't be allowed to do it. But it was just great. I was at World Prayer Centre yesterday, and a team from Derby came over, and there's a prayer baton that's going around the country as the flame goes. And it was brought from Derby, and they came over and they blessed Birmingham, gave the baton to us, and it was full of prayers as well that people had written. And we accepted that. We blessed them back, filled the baton with prayers for Coventry, and then we've blessed Coventry, and it's gone to Coventry today as well. So when you hear about the flame, just think about all the stuff that God's doing, and that He's, like Joseph said in Genesis, God's really using this for good.
Yeah, yeah. He certainly is. Amen. You want to share something?
Yeah.
Come on. If you do this, then it's on the... Okay. Yeah, it's awesome. I know that when the Olympic flame left China, there was a prayer group there blessing England as it was handed over, blessing England as, Great Britain as a nation. Thousand pardons. Blessing Great Britain as it received the flame. So everyone marked in their calendars the 27th of July, 8 a.m. in the morning. Every bell across the nation is going to ring. Ring your doorbell. Dibs on the barbell. I get that one. No one can take that one. 8 a.m. It's Friday. I think it's a Friday, the 27th of July. Get up and ring your bell. If you haven't heard Benny Johnson's prophetic word about revival when the bells ring in Great Britain, you need to get a hold of that on a podcast. But it's our year for destiny. Does anyone besides me just feel it? Come on. Anybody excited about it? Doesn't that just... does deserve a shout. It does deserve a shout. Come on. England, the sleeping giant. Great Britain, the land of hope and glory, is and will be again the land of hope and glory. Amazing. 27th of July, put it in your phone. Set an alarm. Let something beep. Let something ring, because it's going to be an amazing thing. Do you want to share something?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Some of you know I work in Coventry, and
it's really funny because we're talking about the flame and we're also talking about preparing for something. And I've been involved with preparing for the Olympic flame to come into Coventry. And it's interesting, all the different parties, the stakeholders that are involved with it. And some have been really proactive and made things happen and some haven't. And it's like about, are we prepared for what's coming? And, you know, it can be, and I think I feel with Laurie as well about sometimes is that some people don't seem to be getting going, in a sense, and prepared for what's coming. And it's interesting that people do get frustrated and stuff because others don't necessarily see what's happening. And it's been the same because basically in Coventry we've been cleaning everything. We've been cleaning and we've been preparing, and some people haven't been. some of those who look after various items, I won't name them, shame them, but some haven't. It's been real difficult to get them to do their bit. And others who were brought in at the last minute, who have been spoken to in the last minute, they've come in and they've done a thorough job. They really have known that, you know, there's some, you know, not necessarily prestige, but they've put their effort in. And everything's not going to necessarily be perfect, but it's about preparing a place. And, you know, and sometimes it's the perspective. Sometimes, you know, when they film, when the live broadcast of the Flame Cup is, it's not the direction in which the travel of the flame is how it's filmed. It's actually looking back at the flame. And it was quite an interesting one because I deal with all with signs in Coventry. And what the thing that you see is not the front of the sign, it's the back of the sign. So when I instructed the guys to clean all the signs, I said, it's not just the fronts of the signs that need to be cleaned, it's the backs of the signs that need to be cleaned. Because that's what's going to get seen, in a sense, by the cameras. So we need to clean up the background, not just the front of what you'd think would be seen. So it's interesting that, although I'm not actually going to be there and not actually see anything, because the flame comes in this afternoon to Coventry, and then it's gone very early in the morning before I even to get there. But it's, in a sense, just a moment, but it's about being prepared for that moment. Of it, so 100%. Just wanted to share that anyway.
How about we take a second and say, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to prepare? What would you like me to prepare? I have, as you know, the opportunity really for quite a bit of profile this year regarding Revival Alliance, and you know, it's great to have profile. It's great to be able to talk to all these leaders and so on, but I don't want our own church to miss whatever it is that God wants to deposit. I think it is not coincidental that these six ministries, that many of whom, most of them I know very well, obviously my dad I do, and, you know, they're current day revivalists. You know, brag on my dad just a little bit. I think it's 18 years now of revival hosted by the Toronto Church. That's longer than anything in history that's ever been written down. It's amazing, isn't it? He still travels half of every year by, you know, hundreds of invitations that he turns down every year of hunger for more of what God is, did, and is still doing in Toronto. That's an amazing thing. One of the elements to that is that there was a preparedness. There was something waiting for what he wanted to deposit. There was something searching. I remember the year before when we were living in Texas. I don't know if you guys remember, but we had the Rupert's motorhome parked on our drive, and Randy Clark came to stay for the week and stayed in the motorhome on our drive. No? And basically, Rodney Howard Brown was in Dallas, and so he was just kind of chasing around the country places where there was fire, places where God was really moving so that he could get in on it, search it. And I don't know if I've had a chance to share this. Maybe I did 2 weeks ago, that I met with someone in the Anglican Church who was doing their thesis really on the Holy Spirit in 1994. And therefore was asking me about Toronto and so on firsthand. Because I said, did you ever go? And they said, no. And I said, really? In the middle of a thesis on the Holy Spirit, you didn't just fly over and check it out? And they said, no. And I said, well, what was your conclusion based then on that? And they said to me that it was wrong for people to go somewhere where they thought God was moving. And it sort of underpinned a negative thing, which was that God wouldn't come where I am. And with respect, I said to her, I just think that's missing a couple of ingredients. One is humility and one is hunger. And I'm kind of reminded of the people in the scriptures who actually got their miracles from God. And it wasn't just because Jesus went to their house and found where they were. There were occasions like that, but someone asked for help along the way. Someone, whether it was a relative or a, you know, a servant or someone along the way, said, I need you to come and do a miracle. Or the woman with the issue of blood who pushed through a crowd loaded with shame, loaded with condemnation along the way, no doubt. She would have been known in her village and town that she's the one who's unclean. And yet she was hungry enough for a miracle to press through whatever the cost. You know, I've talked before about the guys with their friend, that they, four guys carried their friend, broke through the roof. They were so desperate to get the love and the healing power of Jesus, they would do anything, move anything to get it. And I think, you know, we live in the West in quite a place where we've been quite overfed. And it's not really that important that we press in for what we need. I know I heard from some people who went to Indonesia recently for the World Day of Prayer and how humbled they were with the stories and the children who would pray for hours. And their reason is because they know their nation needs God. It's the largest percentage of Muslims in the world, in the nation of Indonesia, and yet they have revival with more Christians being saved every day. Because there's people who are praying, there's people who are saying, actually, God, thank you for all you've done, but we need so much more. And I want my heart to be in that place where I'm so glad with what I have, but I'm not so comfortable with what I have that I fail to recognize my need. Do you know, I believe in this church there should never be one sick person. I honestly believe that with all that we've already seen as a church, for those of you who may not know some of these stories, for 18 months solid, we had a haze in this church. Went through every season, windows open, windows closed, heaters on, heaters off, sunlight, no sunlight. And those of you that, how many were here? Jackie was here for then, Tony, Jess, can testify. Sometimes you could see it very plainly in certain pockets. Sometimes it was just like your glasses or your contacts were a bit dirty. But for 18 months solid, the presence of God resided tangibly like that. We've had all kinds of things. Feathers. I'm sure you've heard the egg yolk story this year. Amazing. What are the chances of having 20 double egg yolks in a row? I had 10, all in one carton, double egg yolks in a row. Chris began to check hers, the other leader. All 10 of hers were double egg yolks. The chances of that, according to our scientist in the room, is the same as what number Archimedes gave to the grains of sand in the universe. One with 60 zeros is the chances of having 20 double yolks in a row. What does God want to say to our church? It's so exciting. It's so exciting. It's the day for our church to take hold of whatever double portion God wants to pour out. I believe it's a year of relationships being restored. So I want to just stop and ask, is there anyone who still needs some breakthrough in relationships? Kids, parents, bosses. Great, stand up. Take hold of it afresh. It's a year of double portions. One of the things that I believe specifically the egg yolks speak about is relationships, because they're joined. And when you crack it open, you can see that it's inseparable. Actually, I did have one egg that was two separate. One of the doubles was two separate eggs in one shell. But it speaks of relationships being restored. And I'm certainly seeing favor, favor, favor. So, Father, just if you're near them, just lay hands on them. So, Father, I just stand with them and believe for relationships to be restored. Thank you, God, that there is no division in the kingdom of heaven. And we are now, because of eternity, living in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So, Father, we speak and decree and declare into them favor for these relationships, where only you can clear the way for misunderstanding, where only you can sort it out, where only you can mend hearts. We just ask you to do that, Father, because you're good and you're faithful and you're true. You can take your seats when you feel to. I was at a church last weekend down in Kent and met this lovely pastoral couple from South Africa who have four sons. Three out of the four are exceedingly athletic and have they get their county colors in just about everything. And one of the three was going to sign for one of the football teams and broke his ankle just before that and has now gone into ministry. But in that process, he likes to run, and he likes to actually run marathons. And anyway, he had to have some reconstructive surgery, and of course the doctors told him he would never run again. But he has run Paris Marathon, London Marathon, and the South African Marathon, which is 45 miles. Who would run 45 miles? Could you do it, Tone? 45 miles. It's like 11 hours of running. John, doesn't that just make you tired thinking about it? It sure does. But you see, God has purposes for us and wants us to be excited. How many people are excited about something? You got lunch planned at home and it's delicious, or you have a new baby and she's beautiful, or everything is great, I got a pay raise a couple weeks ago. We need to be excited in the kingdom of heaven. It really is time for us to wear our joy a little bit visibly, isn't it? Just by way of a couple announcements, and then I'm going to share from the Word. If you haven't heard of the National Day of Prayer at Wembley Stadium, we're going to be probably trying to take a bus if you do want to do that. For the moment, if you can just speak to Margaret about it, or Margaret, maybe we could just put a quick sign-up sheet on the bar. If you're interested, it is the 29th of September. It's a Saturday. We're going to rent a coach and go down together as a group. If we need to get another church or two together for that, then we'll do that. But it will be amazing. How many does it hold? Is it 50,000? Anybody know how big Wembley is? 90. Really? So potentially 90,000 Christians having a day of prayer at Wembley. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Bring it on, Lord. Rededicate the nation back to God. So be watching for that date. Mark that date. If you haven't already booked in for Revival Alliance, you need to do that quickly. There are only maybe 500 tickets left. Or less. That was yesterday's check. So people are kind of booking in 50 or 100 at a time now. And if you do from our church want to volunteer, please let me know that, because you get a discounted rate, but you need to do that through our office. Don't forget the youth event, which is one meeting on the Saturday. It's only £5, so if you want to bring some friends to that one, we will clear the hall and hopefully have it full of 2,500 15 to 30-year-olds with a few sneaky ones on the side worshiping God. And the format for that youth meeting, which I'm actually very excited about, is that whoever is left, of which I think there is at least four of those speakers still left for Saturday afternoon, will be speaking to them from their own wisdom and experience and laying hands on them all to receive impartation. So that'd be good, huh? We have a SOZO conference in a couple weeks. If you're interested in that, speak to Joan or follow up with the literature on that. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. I'm just going to share for a few minutes, and then we're going to worship again. I was at a kind of a round table meeting this week with a group headed by Ginny and Hugh Cryer. I don't know if any of you know them, but they're kind of a seasoned couple who led the Winchester Vineyard for 25 years and have retired from that position. They're quite posh, lovely people. He used to be a Navy captain. But they really have a heart for revival and not really interested in the names and brands that go with it, but rather just getting together. And so they've asked a few leaders to get together and do that. And I was listening to a pastor named Alan Luppett, who heads up Randy Clark's ministry in Europe. And he was just sharing his heart about worship. And he was just singing from my song sheet. You know, it was just like when he said at the end, "Does anyone want prayer?" I said, "Me first," and ran up in front of him. And I said, "You've just been saying everything that my heart believes." And it's lovely when you meet these connections, which is happening all the time for me this year, where people are just on the same page. And he was talking about worship, really. So I want us to look at a couple of things, and I'll throw in some of what he said along the way. Chapter 15, after David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the Ark of God and pitched a tent for it. So in the context of prepared, you know, just do a quick mental list. What is it that you want from God? What is it that you want? I want this place to be a place where healing happens regularly. In the middle of worship, by laying on of hands, by osmosis, by walking past the sidewalk. I believe every bit of land that God has given us as our territory here, that's why we, it's really one of the reasons why we wanted to buy a property, to be honest, that this would be a residence for him. And when people walk by, they see the presence of God, feel the presence of God, get healed, are encouraged, get saved, whatever it is. I believe in that. It's not just historical. It's not just for Wales back in 1904. It's not just for Marie Woodworth Eder, where people would just fall on the floor. You know, Amy Semple McPherson is a wonderful testimony of just being herself. I think she was divorced 3 times in the early 1900s, which was not very popular, obviously, and certainly not within the Christian world. And she would do things like she'd go in Los Angeles and she'd put a chair on a corner and she'd stand on it and she'd look up. And a crowd would gather and they'd be like, "What's she looking at?" And she'd get down off the chair and begin to preach the gospel. Amazing signs and wonders followed her ministry. You see, God's just looking for a few folks. It actually doesn't take a nation to change a nation. It just takes a couple of folks who want to do what God says, dare to believe the hard things, go pray for a few dead people. We need to get John to share his story one time, I'll tell you. We went for dinner at their house, John and Sue's, maybe a month ago now, is it? And he said something about, "Yeah, I believe in praying for the dead." And we said, "Yeah, we have." And he went, "Oh, really? Someone else has a story?" Anyway, he's got the most amazing story. And when you hear it, he actually went to a graveyard as they're lowering the casket in the ground. And he's saying, oh, God, if you give me any kind of a sign." But it's getting riskier and riskier and riskier. Finally, he does pray that the person will be raised actually out of the ground now at this point. And they didn't. But the testimony to those who watched created a hunger for, "Will you come and pray for me?" And this needs to be stirred in us. You know, for such a time as this, you're in the kingdom. For such a time as this, you're in a church where a woman from Canada, against all odds, will stand here and tell you it can be done. It is time for Great Britain to take its place in history. This is not the time to fall asleep. This is not the time to say, "I can't do it." As a matter of fact, if you have issues going on in your life, issues going on in your heart, places where you're thinking, "I just can't deal with that, I can't confront that," I want you to know that as a Christian, as a believer who's given their life to God, the Holy Spirit is at work in you and me to do that very thing, so that there is more capacity for faith. So if I'm spending all week on my issue, which I spent a lot of my week on my issue, thankfully not all week, but a lot of my week on my issue, I'm not spending time hearing from God. I am hearing me. I can guarantee you I am hearing me when I am in my own issue. I'm hearing why I'm afraid. I'm rehearsing, "They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have said that. It was wrong for this." I'm hearing me all that time. And we need to have a place where we can be real and can vent it, but also a place that is willing and has permission back to say, "Okay, I've heard you now for a couple of hours. Now it's time to take some ownership for that and say, where do I need to forgive and what do I need to repent of?" Because it's time to let it go. Because for all of that space in my heart, language, thought process, all of that, God didn't get a whole lot of time. I wasn't praying for anybody at Sainsbury's. I wasn't revealing a happy, joyful face anywhere I went. It was all about me. And that's not the kingdom of heaven, actually. We want to be followers of Jesus, right? We want to do what he did. He didn't live by his own will, interestingly enough. You'd think if anyone could have, it would have been him. But he didn't. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He said what the Father said to say. How many times do we argue with God and say, are you sure? Are you sure you want it said like that? But you know, we need to build up this credibility and reputation so that if we have a prophetic tendency, get that honed and fine-tuned so that it's not coming from a place of me, it's coming from a place of him. And if my life is consumed with bitterness and issues of unforgiveness and all of that kind of stuff, guess what that prophetic flow is actually coming out of? It gets a tiny little squeeze through all the garbage that it's got to filter through. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be pure, clean vessels bringing life and joy. But as it gets filtered through us, it's, I think, our job to be at least willing to say, Holy Spirit, will you show me the things that are in the way? So how many of us still feel like that? Holy Spirit, show me the things that are in the way. Then get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Because what you have probably just agreed to again is someone will offend you this week. Someone will probably offend you before you get to tea and coffee. Because that's the reality of it. God hears it. The Holy Spirit says, great. Then I'm going to use Joan in this case to offend that issue in you so that you look at what the heck's going on in me. At the moment, I'll only think it's Joan. Joan is so this and so that. But actually, God is allowing it. Is he bigger than the devil? Yes. Is he bigger than me? Yes. Yeah. He's allowing these circumstances and trials and testings to happen so that the fruit in our life is purified. Branches are cut off that need to be. Issues are healed from the inside out so that I have capacity to stand on a chair in faith and know that, you know what, I don't care if everyone thinks I'm a nut. But that's what faith is. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if God isn't moving, I move him. What had to break on the inside of him before he would get to that place? Here's a man who couldn't read. All sorts of stories about him and his wife. And he locked her outside the house one night. She just stayed outside in the cold and loved God. Taught him to read the Bible. He was a rough man. But he died on the inside. And I think that's some of the issue with us. You know, we're trying to stay alive. We're trying to keep our own identity rather than his identity for me. We often applaud, I suppose, or encourage Tony. We do believe, as his leadership, and I believe as his mother-in-law, that there is an anointing for wealth on his life. Chris 100% believes he's going to be a millionaire. It probably happened before you're 30, by the way. Yay, says the sister-in-law. but you see, Tony has this choice. He can either just think, yeah, I've done that. And it's true he has contributed and partnered with God along the way. He's been faithful in his studies and faithful in the choices that he has. You know, like for his bosses to recognize him now and give him more raise than anyone else in the firm and give him more favor than anyone else is allowed to get is because Tony's had a couple choices along the way. Will I just skip a few corners here or will I be honorable? He's an accountant. Will I try to, I remember there was this one situation where they, you know, he could have kind of twisted things just a little bit and made it easier for himself, but he prayed and said, Lord, would you help me find the money that I need so that it works the way the company wants it to look, but I do it honorably. And he was completely blessed by God with this divine idea on how and where to find it. And see, he's making some right choices along the way. God wants partners. If he didn't want partners, let's just take a look around the room for a second. Do you not think he could have just stopped at Jesus and that would have been a better deal? You know, I mean, here's the deal. The one he basically handed to stand up and defend the church to was Peter. You know, just 4 days before, he denied he even knew him. Wouldn't you kind of think, maybe we need to give him another month? Maybe we need another six-month refresher course here to reveal who I am to Peter before I hand him the church? But you see, God's looking through the eyes of potential, and he wants partners, but he needs brave partners. Poke somebody and say, be brave. Because the power of the Most High who lives on the inside is very brave. The Holy Spirit isn't afraid of anything or anyone. He was there on the day of creation, the Bible says, hovering over the face of the earth. The Spirit was over the waters, waiting for instruction. Wasn't afraid of anything. Isn't afraid of anything. But he is looking for a few people that will partner and say, okay, we'll go. We'll do something risky. John Wimber prayed for 100 sick people before one got healed. And I guess it was in the 80s, really, that he started to affect Great Britain. Was it the 80s? And began a real healing movement here in Great Britain. Somebody gets to go first. Somebody plows through. I remember someone saying to me recently, it's wrong to stand at the front and say God wants to heal everyone today. And I didn't say this because I didn't want to be confrontational on every point. But would we say that about someone becoming a Christian? Would we bring an unsaved person to church and expect that actually God wouldn't want them saved today? It's just so that they can begin to percolate the message. Come on. See, as a culture, we've moved to believe everyone can be saved. Everyone should be saved. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's now. Why live one day without salvation? You might get hit by a bus, right? But we don't think that about healing. But it's getting there. We're pressing in. Our confidence is building. We're trying more things. We're standing around gravesides. We're doing these things. So he now has a reputation when he goes to, is it Seychelles? And people come and look them up on their holiday and pray for Aunt Mary and Aunt Bessie. And they spend most of their holidays traveling around praying for people. You got to build this reputation of credibility if you want it. So David decides, after my house is built, I'm going to build something where the Ark of God, which I'm assuming we all know this, but the Ark of God represented the presence of God himself in their midst. It was a tangible box, as you can imagine, that was overlaid with gold and had all sorts of very interesting significances and specific ways that it was made. But in it was the presence of God for the people. So God was trying to get his presence into the midst of them through a liturgical way, really. But he's trying to get his presence still in the middle of me, in the middle of my family. How can I park myself in the middle of what they watch on TV? How can I park myself in the middle of their conversation so that relationship gets built and Jessica can finally turn to her mom and say, you are way overreacting here. What's going on? She said it was a proud moment. He's trying to get into the middle of your situation with his presence. But there's a key here that David learned, and that is worship. So what David does in chapter 16, they brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. So David decides, we're just going to build a tent, and it's where God can reside. He's going to hang out in the middle of us. Because what happened, you remember when the ark, they stumbled a bit, someone touched it, the guy died, God was mad. David was then mad at God for being mad at, I think it was Uzziah who touched it. And so the ark is left there with Obed-Edom for 3 months. Well, Obed-Edom's family, the Bible says, was very blessed by the Ark of the Covenant. So I think David at some point says, he's getting the blessing, and I need to just give up my anger here and bring the presence of God back into my situation, back into the city. And I need to honor the presence of God. And what I really want, what I feel he's saying to me, and to me as a leader, and to us as a church, is we need to honor the presence of God and stay the course with which we've always made our foundation. I hope the church grows. I hope we have more people, more resources. I want the lost to really find a place of refuge in here and the broken to find a place of refuge. But our first mandate as a church, for us, it's part of our DNA as a church, is to prepare a place where he will come. And when he comes, where his presence abides, everything else happens. Now, you don't have to put up your hand for me, but I have found that here many, many, many occasions, most occasions. We had a lady across the street who lived in a greenhouse who came in one night. I don't know if it was a Friday or a Sunday. Can you remember? It was a Friday night. She came in. I don't know if she was drunk at the time or she was. So she wanted some prayer. We prayed for her, and she was like, wow, that's like 5-diazepam. That was her comment of what she felt on her with the presence of God. She had an experience with God. We talked to her about that's the love of God. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to be near you. She had an encounter with God. The next week, she died. Completely unexpectedly. Amazing. She met God. We've prayed for people who've come once, never come again, complete strangers walking by or whatever reason, and they say, what is that? What is that? You're touching me. What is that? The presence of God. See, the presence of God actually changes people, changes situations, changes cells in our body. It changes things. And I think what I felt like he wanted me to share today is just that we prepare a place in our own hearts, in our own living rooms, in our own families, in our own cars. We just do a bit of cleanup, as Dave would say. You know, how much of the radio, how much of when you're driving, I've spent hours and hours and hours on the road this week, and how much of that time in the car do we give to him? How much of that time on the buses with iPods and iPhones and so on do we give to him? Just a little bit of house cleaning. I'm not trying to make rules and regulations. I'm just trying to say, if we want not one single sick person to be able to remain sick here, then there's got to be something we've got to just clean up a little bit along the way. And for us as a church, just places where we need to shore up, you know, the places maybe where it's leaking out. In my own life, I want to do that. I want to look at, okay, where are the places where actually, Lord, I've forgotten you. I've forgotten to include you. I forgot to say good morning. I forgot to just give you my day and ask you for opportunities today. And remember that I want the presence of God. So David decides that he's going to build this tent. So let's just read this. I'm going to read from the message. They brought the chest of God and placed it right in the center of the tent that David had pitched for it. Then they worshipped by presenting burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When David had completed the offerings of worship, he blessed the people in the name of God. Then he passed around to everyone there, men and women alike, a loaf of bread, a slice of barbecue. That's interesting, isn't it? Texas would call that grilled meat, some description, and a raisin cake. David assigned some of the Levites to the chest of God to lead worship, to intercede, give thanks, and praise the God of Israel. Asaph was in charge under him, Zechariah, and a whole bunch of other people. Asaph was on percussion. How cool was that, that you got listed as the drummer for David's 24-hour worship tent? Yeah, we got Asaph on the drums. The priests blew the trumpets before the chest of the covenant of God at set times throughout the day. That was the day that David inaugurated regular worship of praise to God led by Asaph and his company. Now, we know that David set up this 24-hour worship. If you turn over to verse 37 of the same chapter, David left Asaph and his co-workers with the chest of the covenant of God in charge of the work of worship. Say, work of worship. They were responsible for the needs of worship around the clock. 24-hour worship. Now, we know that Moses built a tabernacle, and it was made to order, right? God said, we need this, we need this, we need this specifically, this specifically. Solomon built a temple after David, which would be a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant, and it had very specific outlines. David built a tent, 24-hour worship. It was actually against their laws to have that. To have 24-hour worship, a place like that. It was only designated certain times of the year and for certain people. And yet, when God talks about restoring the temple. I think it's a fascinating fact, and it's not mine. This was Alan Luppett's, so I'm stealing his. But interestingly enough, God isn't restoring Moses' tabernacle or Solomon's tabernacle. He's restoring David's. It was David's idea. It wasn't actually God's idea for David's tent. It was David's idea. Don't you think that's amazing that God would say, well, I had a good idea with Moses and a really good idea with Solomon, but I like his idea better, and I'm going to go for that one. When it's all restored again and Jesus comes back to take his rightful place, I like David's idea. How can God think that David's idea was better than his own? I think it's because of this heart of father and this heart of partnership with which, come on, he's looking to see what will be drawn out of Joan in this season. You know, one of the things that we love about Joan is this sort of, I don't want to say stubborn because stubborn is a negative word, but it's this strong place that won't be moved. And she may feel wobbly, and she has had her issues along the way to sort out as well. But there is a steadfastness where Joan won't be moved. You know, if you come up to Joan, we've had one or two things where Joan had to be the sergeant at arms. And so, you know, people, come here, Jack. So you be the person visiting, and Joan is the one who's not allowing them any further. And Joan is just not moving. You're not actually getting past me. I'm not moving, you're moving. Thanks. And it's this steadfastness, and in that, the Holy Spirit is watching, even in this trial, to say, but what is coming out of this? Out of the depths of what the Father knows is in there. What is coming out of this? And that's how he feels about me. And that's how he feels about you. So how many people feel like they have an intercession? Anointing, leaning, gifting, edging. Great, stand for a second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything weird. But own it. Just close your eyes for a second. Say, Father, I want to cooperate with the presence of God on my life for intercession. I just want to cooperate with that. I want my heart to get healed so there's more room to hear afar off the cries of your people. I want my ears to be cleansed so that I hear their cries more than I hear my own. I want to have my ears cleansed so that I can hear what you would want me to declare more than I hear my own nagging voice about whatever. I want that place on the inside that has been, you know, hurt, overlooked, abandoned, rejected, all of those things, to be healed and cleansed to hold the very will of God for the people that I have influence with. Move a city. Because it's time to influence heaven and spend a whole lot less of our time influencing people. You can sit down if you like. How many people have a prophetic gift? They know God talks to them, God gives them words for people. Stand up. Father, I just want to give you afresh today this wonderful prophetic gifting, anointing that you've placed on my life. I've reaped so many wonderful stories and testimonies and examples, Lord, where people have been touched and miracles have happened because I've taken this risk and spoken into their life. But Lord, I want to cooperate with the Ark of the Covenant of God himself, the presence of you, so that what comes out of my mouth is coming from a clean place, is coming from a healed place with a greater capacity to say the words that you really want to say. I choose. I choose more. I choose more. Even if the more is taking out the odd bag of trash. Okay, you can sit down. How many people know they have a gifting, a leaning, a passion for physical healing? Great, stand up. And if you have all of them, you can stand for all of them. Father, thank you. Maybe those around can just lay hands on them. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against them can prosper. Lord, it's time for blind eyes to be a regular occurrence, not just something we talk about 2,000 years ago, or that happens in Africa with new eyeballs, as glorious as Jessica's testimony is. It was a long way away, but it was true. Man had no eyeballs in his eye from two separate incidents in life. And the team, just ordinary team, Jess was part of that team, praying for him. And these two little white orbs formed in his eye sockets. And he could see shadows. And by the time they had to leave, that was his state. I don't know if... Have you heard any more updates on him? No. Father, we bless them to heal the sick. It's the commission, by the way, for all of us. Heal the sick. Don't bring them to church so they can get healed, although that's a good thing. But heal the sick. Don't pray, God, if it's your will, please heal them. That's almost an anti-faith prayer, to be honest with you. Is there any sickness in heaven? No, there's no cancer. There's no tears. There's no pain. There's no joint problems. Of course it's his will. Jesus said, you lay hands on them. You heal them. In my name. Be healed. We need to just start. Come on, be healed. Elbow, respond. Cancer, respond. Be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Worship. How many people love worship? Know that they're just wired that way. Stand up. Again, it's another one probably we should all be standing for, but we should just call you Asaph. Asaph. Father, we just bless him with Asaph's anointing. Come on, that the worshipers will begin to not come to church or whenever we have an opportunity for worship that is corporate. Not just come empty, but come full. Come like, come on. Like for Tony to come with an expectation, I can hear the drum sounds in heaven and replicate them. Because we've heard it. I've heard him do it. And some of us in the room have heard it. Yeah. Come on. Sometimes Jackie hits those things and I'm like, whoa. Whoa. We've just hit some notes in heaven. Come on, Shauna. Sometimes the worshipers have to get in there and just bring on in the presence of God. It was such a significant thing that if you read in the genealogy, there were several hundred people, 250 of this family, 120 of this family, interesting enough families, eh? So many from this family, so many from this family, and their job for worship was to worship 24 hours. Imagine the rotas. They'd be fighting over spots, wouldn't you? Yeah. Take your seats. Anybody want to preach? Just want to get the word out. Hands up. Stand up. Father, we ask for divine opportunities. We ask for invitations in groups. For Margaret, Lord, just bless those invitations at work. It is time for the word of God to be preached in the public sector. We bless her with more of that. Bless you wherever you speak, declaring the work of God. And Father, in their own hearts, search them out. Because in some places, I don't believe quite what I did 15 years ago. Fresh revelation coming. Fresh revelation coming, filtered through. My Father loves me if I get it all wrong. And he loves me the same if I get it all right. Opportunities. It's time for the word of God to be declared. What have I missed here? You can take your seat. Who has a passion for something else that I haven't called out? Hospitality? Kindness, evangelism, big one. Evangelists, come on, don't forget the baby Christians. Evangelism, stand again then. Another one we should all be standing for. How many people have their three people they're praying for this year? How's that going, by the way? They getting closer? Making decisions for Christ? It's about who we take with us, isn't it? That's our treasure. Won't that be a glorious thing? Lord, here's the people that I was faithful with, tried to keep praying for, tried to keep witnessing to, brought you to Jesus. Father, we just speak and declare an impartation afresh on every evangelistic heart in the room, and even those of us not standing, Lord. Would you stir us with how important it is that that wedding table is full? And if we have to go to the highways and byways, and if the church doesn't want it, and if the Christians don't want it, we'll go to the highways and the byways. And if they're too busy, as you compelled, we will drag them in to hear the good news. You need to read it. The master said, go invite them, but then after that, then go drag them, because my table will be filled. The wedding will be filled. We're not having an empty spot. Wouldn't that have been a drag, Jack, to have empty seats? There may have even been one or two who in the end couldn't show up or something. Yeah, and it was like, that's not good. We could have invited so-and-so. There will be no empty places. Drag them in. This is a great year for it. Father, we just want your presence to be among us, in us, through us. Let's all stand. So that you're the central reason, so that there's more room in my heart for you and less room in my heart for me. So there's more room in my heart, God, to hear the assignments of the day and less room in my heart for my assignments for the day, Lord. We just bless your name, God. We bless your name. We exalt your presence. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are so faithful, even when I am not. Your very name, one of his names, is faithful. Aren't you glad about that? Because if I look back over my own track record, I'm not always faithful. I don't always keep my promises. I don't always remember my promises. But he does, and he is. Father, we honor your presence here today more than anything else. Thank you for wonderful worship. Thank you for a loving family. Thank you for a church family committed to revival. Thank you for our building. Thank you for every blessing that we have, Lord Jesus. But if you didn't show up here, Lord, it would honestly be the last day that I came. Because I'm not interested if you're not interested. And Lord, just as a church, we want to just hold out our hands to you afresh and say, God, we want your presence to be in our building. We want your presence to be in our words. We want your presence to be in the songs we choose and how long we worship or short we worship. We want your presence to be in the edifications we give. We want your presence to be in the relationships that are built. We want your presence to be in our vision as a church and our strategies as a church and the programs that we take on and the things that we commit our time to. We must have your presence in the center of what we do. And so we honor, Lord, this place of worship that you are asking us to establish, that we would do the work of worship, that we would live our lives according to the work of worship. That you would be the center, God, in all that we do. Claudia, maybe you can just play Be Lifted High. Maybe this morning you just want to take a time and just say to the Lord, you know what, I'm sorry, I've made the last week or two or month or year about me, really, and not so much about you. Or maybe it's a time where you just want to say, God, I just want to draw close. Or maybe, like I said in worship, your cry today is, Lord, can you find me? Because I'm a little bit lost today. But just let his presence wash over us afresh. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you about fears that have hung on to you for years, and it's time to get rid of it, and it's time to pursue healing on the inside and get that dealt with. And I would say that to any intercessor or prophetic person, particularly. If it's motivated by fear, you will not have respect and credibility. We live in an impartation time of grace where it's okay to get it wrong, but it's not okay to hide. If you've been entrusted with intercession and prophetic in particular, you cannot remain hidden. You have to get those fears, get those heart issues dealt with, build credibility and trust so that God's voice through you can be heard. Let's not hang on to it. Father, the God of love, the God of all comfort, would you just come and minister to us afresh, Lord, in all the places where we need more of you today. But we just want to fill the holes, Lord, and putty the cracks and shore up the edges and clean the signs front and back and just clean the jars, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come in and clean the jar. And where it's stuck, give it a good scrub. But Father, we want to be clean vessels with maximum capacity to hold the anointing and favor of God. That then when we leak, it's leaked correctly, Lord, not out of our weakness, but out of your greatness. I think it would be good if you feel inclined to declare a blessing over our church. So for those of us that either call this your church, or if you're visiting and you still want to do that, that would be great. But maybe you can repeat after me. Basically, we're just going to declare openly a blessing over our church. Is that okay? I feel like it's right to do. Father, thank you for our church. And we declare over Haven Church today, this is your home, God. It's part of your home, God. And we give you pride of place today. You get the seat of honor, God. We want you more than we want anything else. And we declare over this church the favor of the Lord, provision, all of the assigned builders, favor with friends, favor with our community, but mostly, Lord, favor with you. We set our faces afresh to be determined to influence heaven. Thank you, God. We bless the leaders, we bless our life group leaders, we bless our worship team, we bless those who serve, we bless those who do sound, we bless those who do coffee and tea, we bless those who clean, we bless those who do gardening, we bless those who give their tithes and offerings. And by the way, I do want to say this. If this is your church, there is an expectation that you tithe here. I never talk about money, really. That's Chris's job normally. But I do want to say, for the record, I agree with tithing. And I agree that your tithe, if this is your home church, belongs in this local church. Your offerings, if you support other orphans or other missions or other places or God TV or whatever it is great and wonderful. But your tithes belong in the storehouse where you are fed regularly. That's what the scripture teaches. And we are looking for open heavens of outpouring, as in Malachi, in the great and last day of the Lord, where the hearts of the fathers return to the children and the children to the fathers, is the time to prove him that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it. And so, Father, thank you for all that you're doing in our church. You're amazingly faithful. You're amazingly kind, Lord. But we are not content to just remain where we are. We must have more. We must influence heaven and move you even more, Lord. To you be all the praise. We're going to finish on this one song. And then if you want some ministry, a couple of our team will be at the front if you have some specific needs. But otherwise, fellowship and have a cup of tea and say hello. There's what? Jess will be giving out some flyers about gardening. Please support that as we as a church get more and more behind looking towards supporting a community in Africa and their garden and blessing a whole village. Okay, go ahead. Thanks. We do.